Thanks, Guy. Appreciate the warm introduction. And yeah, I'm here to give you all a little bit of a sneak preview to a security white paper that we are about to publish. But first of all, let me start off with a little bit of background. It sounds like all of you know who Movie Labs is. We're a joint venture of the five major Hollywood studios. Our board of directors consists of the studio CTOs. We've done a lot of work historically in distribution technologies. Guy mentioned EITR, which I helped build. And we've also done work in content protection, publishing the enhanced content protection specification that kind of set the bar for the protection of 4K and Ultra HD content. And also we're very active in getting HDR onto the standards body roadmap, which you now see in most of your television sets. So in August, we published a white paper looking out, taking a 10-year vision of the future of production technology. You can download it right there. It is based upon 10 principles, which we then elaborate. We think principles are useful for keeping you focused, looking at ways to implement it, ways to go, to see that you're actually lining things up well. It really is all about production moving to cloud and cloud infrastructure, whether that's public cloud or whether that's on-prem private cloud. There's a lot of advantages in terms of the scalability and things which you can do by leveraging a cloud infrastructure. We're kind of at a transitional point here, which is why we're doing this. It's motivated by changes in bandwidth and new technologies around cloud computing. You know, our goal here is to help advance the industry to get to the place that our members, the studios, would like to see it in 10 years. We picked that kind of 10-year time frame to make it long enough so that people wouldn't second guess whether we're going to have bandwidth enough or latency is going to be low enough, but still short enough that we can extrapolate from what a lot of people are already doing today in the cloud to form the basis of that. I'm not going to get into all of the principles. There are 10 of them in total. They basically come into three groups. One are kind of cloud fundamentals, one around security and access that I'll be talking a little bit more about today, and then about the software-defined workflows that you're going to be able to build in the cloud and which really impact the approach that you want to have to security. I think the key things here are calling out that the notion is that assets go up to the cloud, they stay in the cloud, and applications come to them rather than doing all of the transfers that we currently do today between different facilities. So this move to the cloud creates a lot of opportunities and challenges for security. We're looking at a world where we expect users to be coming in from all over the place. It's no longer this transferring from one secure facility to another. And so some of the notions around perimeter security no longer really work in that world because you have so many people that need to come in for some specific purpose in through that perimeter. And so I think we've seen with facility security, it's largely built around processes and physical security. As things have moved to networks, it's been network perimeter. As people have moved to hybrid cloud, basically that perimeter has kind of been extended up around that facility or that studio's cloud. It really hasn't been this everyone coming in from everywhere. So that's definitely a challenge. Another challenge is actually making sure that as we secure all of this, as always, that we don't get in the way of the creative process or its efficiency. If security gets in the way, people will often try to find ways, you know, not to use it. The opportunity that we have here is we're at kind of a very transitional moment. And this is the same reason that with the enhanced content protection specification for consumer distribution, we put it out at the point at which 4K was starting to be deployed, because 4K was going to take new hardware, it was going to take new mastering processes, and so there was an opportunity to change some of the technology and the approaches to security. So I think we're in the same kind of situation here, but it also means we have a limited amount of time to do it. You know, we really would like to see security be intrinsic to every process and every workflow, rather than being added on after the fact, to really follow that path of security by design that we heard about in some earlier talks today. It also is probably a little bit easier in this context to bring a new model of security because cloud infrastructures tend to be more managed, more centrally managed than, say, a production, which may be leveraging, using whatever they can manage to pull in and to get onto the set. So, as Guy mentioned, we are just about to publish a security white paper. This is a companion white paper to the one for the 10-year vision on production technology. It outlines, just as the 2030 white paper did, kind of the studio vision for what security might look like, kind of double-clicking on the security principle that we have in the overall 10-year vision. It's built around, again, some principles. We have six of them. It should be coming out in the next couple weeks. If you want to get a copy when it comes out or get notified, send an email to that address up there, info@movielabs.com, and we'll make sure that you get a note when it's available. So I'm not going to go into the security principles in depth, but I'm going to maybe outline or emphasize a couple of them. One of them is this notion that it's intrinsic by design, and hopefully by virtue of that, it becomes minimally frictional to processes and workflows. You really would like to have this be completely invisible behind the scenes. Also, the security needs to be focused around these new workflows with many people coming in. So I think Andrew Lemke from IBM this morning mentioned moving to zero trust architectures. And we strongly believe that zero trust approaches, are the right ones to leverage in this environment. He mentioned micro-segmentation, network micro-segmentation, being able to have applications which are only able to access certain network resources. You can extend that to controlling access to particular digital assets. We also, in this move to zero trust, think that there are some other tools that could be used, which I'll get to. I think maybe the rest of these I'll leave for you to read. Actually, scalability is another one which is extremely important. There's no one-size-fits-all to production security, and so we think it's very important to be able to have a tool set that you can turn the knob up and down on the security level. So a little more, I guess, on the zero trust and the moving from perimeters to workflows and assets. So the traditional security, even in the hybrid cloud, is kind of outlined here with these little facilities with clouds and a red perimeter around them. We think that doesn't work really in this new world. So we really need to look at protecting the application execution environment for particular applications, and then controlling what users have access to those applications, and then the combination of the user and the application can determine whether they have access at a particular time to particular assets. So diving down that a little bit more, the key goal here is to allow this flexible working environment where you can have people coming in from wherever, that they don't need necessarily to come into a facility in order to do their work. If we're going to be doing this in public cloud, we need to assume that we're running on untrusted infrastructure. It needs to be scalable to the risk levels, as I mentioned, and not interfere with the usability and efficiencies. So asset access control is a key aspect of this, really putting the focus around access to assets. Network micro-segmentation is one approach. In the white paper, we kind of explore some other technologies that could be used maybe to dial some of the security up to even higher levels, turning the dial up to 11, say, where you would actually could leverage DRM-like technologies by which you authenticate the application and the user. That authentication is handed off to a server that actually then provides that application or its container with the keys that would be necessary to decrypt the content. And this also gives you a knob that you can turn in terms of deciding which assets you actually encrypt or don't encrypt, whether you use one key for all of the assets or use different keys for different assets. So we think it's an interesting approach to give both scalable security and also the highest levels of security. All this, of course, requires authentication and authorization systems for both users and, in this world, applications. And also, it's worth pointing out, this doesn't mean that we can throw away our ideas about facility security and physical security. You know, if I have an on-prem private cloud, you know, you still don't want anyone walking into that room and plugging in any piece of hardware to something. You know, all of this stuff is still going to be happening, you know, unencrypted in memory and other things. And so you can't say that the endpoints aren't worthy of physical security. And at the other end, the client end, you know, you have displays and other things, which for a highly sensitive, high-budget blockbuster movie, you know, you might want to, you know, prohibit any cameras or cell phones in there so that no one, you know, happens to take a snapshot of the new costume for the new superhero. So we think all these things really can come together to create a very, very secure system. And scalability is the third and last thing that I'll dive into a little bit more detail. You know, a lot of security systems, you know, don't have that knob that you can turn. And we think that as we roll out to the cloud, it's going to be very important. If you have, you know, a cooking show, for example, if the recipe gets published beforehand on a website, it's probably not going to monetarily impact the success of that television show. On the other hand, if the script for a superhero movie leaks out before its release, you can bet that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be very upset about that and worried about its impact. So we think that it's important to have this dial for security, and we think some of these techniques for zero trust really give you the ability to do that and dial it in, so that for that, you know, superhero next blockbuster movie, you know, maybe you turn it all the way up. You encrypt, you know, every asset, and every asset has different encryption keys, and you know, you manage those with very granular access. Something less, maybe, you know, everyone has access to a global encryption key and you're happy with that. Or at the low level, just, you know, maybe things don't get encrypted and protected if it's not necessary. So just to review, you know, we think we're at a transitional point here, and there's a big opportunity to get security really as a intrinsic and in place as security by design, as opposed to an afterthought, which we think will also make it much more usable and transparent to the users, as DRM is today. Most people don't encounter issues with DRM because the environment is so mature and it's part of the underlying infrastructure. Also think the need to move from the focus on perimeters to really zero trust type security environments. And in that zero trust environment, there are a number of things that are useful. You know, you really want to limit access to assets to particular authenticated and authorized users and applications. Things like network segmentation are one approach to do that, you know, or you could turn the dial up more and use a DRM-like approach. It's always essential. Security doesn't get in the way of creatives. And also, it's very important to be able to scale the security to the actual requirements. So, with that, I want to just give a brief shout out to the studio contributors who participated in this. I think a number of the names here will be familiar to you. It's the production technology people in the different CTOs' offices, primarily along with their production security people. And so a thank you to everyone up there. And we have one of those participants here in the audience, Tony Anderson from Universal, and we'll now be having just a little fireside chat to discuss some of these principles and their implications. So, thank you.
Hey, Tony.
How are you?
Good.
Grab me up here.
Wow, long time no see.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I mean, thanks for all the help and the feedback on the white paper. You know, we think it's a good thing for the industry to try and get unified and get out ahead of this. And we're going to be working to engage with everyone in the industry, both on the technology aspects of the overall 2030 vision, and then more specifically with security vendors and technology providers and groups like the TPN on the security aspects. So I think Universal has been moving to, you know, different stages of production technology. I think looking at 2.0 as being the move from film to digital, and now as we move to cloud and more automated production approaches, you have a production 3.0 initiative underway. So can you say a little bit about, I guess, how that fits into this overall picture?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me up here. This is great. Believe it or not, this is actually exciting to talk about production security. Production 3.0 is just a term that we use. Production 1.0 being the old days of film, reels. Production 2.0 being that shift to digital. And then production 3.0 is really what is that future of filmmaking, right? And we all think that cloud plays a significant role in that. There's a lot of efficiencies and benefits to using cloud platforms to help us get to that sort of next level. Finding assets better, storing them, being able to find them when we need them, all those sorts of things are hopes for what the various projects that fit into this thing called Production 3.0 that we're hoping to get.
Yeah. So from a security perspective, production has always been maybe a little more challenging than enterprise IT, where the IT department kind of gets to tell you what to do, and in productions, especially with major talent, they're going to have their own ideas about how they want to do things. These productions end up being, this kind of like this set of nomads that they come together and they put together the infrastructure and pieces that they need, and somehow or another they manage to make everything that they need work, and then at the end of it, they tear it all down, and then someone else next time will build something back up again. So I guess, how do you see things changing here as we move to a cloud environment, and what will the impacts, do you think, be around the security posture?
So, I mean, as you alluded to, production's a strange beast. It is not like a corporate enterprise system. They function, like you said, a bunch of people come together and they form this production and they make a movie or a TV show and then they go away and they form another one. And so, you know, there's lots of challenges to trying to implement things for this group of people. The main driver with a production, in many cases, the main driver for a new project at a company is money, right? The main driver for production is time. They have a certain amount of time to get this movie made, and that's going to release. And they don't have extra time. So in many cases, it isn't money that drives it. Money is sort of a last-ditch, you know, effort that they make to try and do this. But time is really what's important. And so if we can create things, tools, workflows that help them, help the productions do what they need to do securely, then it's going to make everyone happy. But when it comes down to it, if they need to send something somewhere and they don't have a nice, easy way to do it, then they're just going to default to whatever they have on hand. And so, using the cloud, we hope to come up with some smart and easy to use tools that will allow these people to do what they want to do.
And actually, that reminds me of an interesting anecdote that I heard from someone who's been deploying cloud technology for VFX and for rendering, which is, you know, time is the constraint. And one of the other constraints that you used to have in VFX was that your rendering farm is only so big, right? And you have to get this next rendering done by such and such a time. And so it means you're going to prioritize. And maybe you're going to say, well, okay, I'd like to re-render that one, but maybe I won't. But what they found is with the cloud, well, you can just scale up more instances. And so what actually they found was that without putting other maybe controls in place, I mean, basically the computing bill just went through the roof because all of a sudden, wow, actually, I can fire up enough cores to actually re-render this whole thing, you know, by next Tuesday, whereas before there were other constraints. So there, I think there are going to be some interesting unexpected side effects as we get through all of this. So I guess when we talk about zero trust, we think, I mean, enterprise may already be moving in that direction. Is that true at Universal? And do you think, are there things there that you're going to be able to leverage from the enterprise, you know, infrastructure and cybersecurity people?
Yeah, good question. We are very lucky to have a very large and robust IT organization, and of course part of that is our cyber team. And so, you know, I think there are certainly aspects of zero trust that that they would like to use, and in many cases are using. You know, it's an interesting one with productions. In the past, production has been very hands off compared to corporate, and I think we see that coming together now. We've got a lot of interaction between our IT group and our cyber team and our productions in ways that we haven't seen before. And so, you know, it's not gonna work all the time. You know, there's certain aspects that are just totally unique and don't fit well. But in many cases, I think we're in a place where, you know, the enterprise is moving to sort new modern security approaches, things like MFA, right? And we'll see production go in the same route. And if there's ways that we can utilize what we have on the enterprise side for production, that's great. If not, then maybe they're there just to help us secure it and lock it down and you know, roll it out as seamlessly as possible.
So, you know, one of the challenges with zero trust authority systems is that, you know, you need to, you know, not only authenticate, but also handle the authorizations. You know, in the DRM world, it's pretty easy because you have the account at Netflix, and okay, Netflix will verify your identity, and they'll give you access to the license to decrypt the content. In a production environment, I mean, are there, you know, scheduling or other tools that could be used to kind of make that process transparent, you know, to the users, so that, you know, there's not a separate security management that needs to be done? It's just part of the workflow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, authentication is huge, right? It always has been, and it'll continue to be even more important as we move to the cloud. I mean, we're used to segregating pretty well. We do that really well now. When we talk about having something where, you know, the assets are all in one place and they're open and accessible, then the idea of you know, some sort of verified identity and authenticating against that identity is really important because we need to make sure that whoever this person says they are has access and is supposed to be there. You know, especially with all the social engineering stuff that we heard earlier today, it's a really big issue. So I think you know, to the extent that we can automate, excellent. I think it's going to be a challenge, and you know, we're just going to have to sort of play it by ear a little bit. I mean, what we're trying to do with our production 3.0 is not bite off the entire thing at once. It's too big of a problem. We're trying to take it piecemeal, so one thing at a time. And you know, as we put a new workflow in place that maybe takes advantage of new tools and cloud architecture that we didn't have before, then we get some benefits. And you know, we'll have to do the same sort of thing with security. We'll add where we can and try to build it in. I mean, one of the things that I think you hit on earlier that I liked was, you know, in many cases, that shift from film to digital, the content protection folks were sort of playing catch-up, right? The business knew what they were doing. They had their workflows. That security of culture that we have now and all of our vendors and content owners, everyone sort of gets it, right? Nobody wants their movie to leak. And we do a lot to try and make sure that doesn't happen. We have that now. And so as we shift to production 3.0, as we like to call it, you know, this future, we have the opportunity to get in there and build something from the get-go and make it sort of built-in security versus trying to retrofit, you know, an older workflow.
Okay. Very good. And I think we have a few minutes left for questions. So if anyone has a question, grab a mic.
Could you share with us any insights about how 5G is going to impact production security?
I mean, look, my guess is as good as yours. It's an interesting technology. You know, I know we're paying attention to it. I think 5G is going to impact things in lots of ways, not just production. So we'll have to see. I mean, more bandwidth is usually a good thing. And so hopefully we'll see some benefits from that. But sure. But I mean, we've got a lot of bandwidth now. We've got a lot of risk now. So add it to the list.
Yeah, and also, I mean, 5G is very definitely one of the enablers of this whole move to the cloud, with the notion that, you know, maybe you can actually, even from you know, remote sites, you know, upload your camera footage and everything at the end of the day, do all of your daily processing up in the cloud. So it's one of those swords that cuts both ways. It offers some new opportunities and also some potential risks if someone has a, you know, a rogue device that, you know, they manage to capture and push a bunch of stuff up to someplace where it wasn't supposed to go.
I'll also add that we'll address 5G at April NAB. Verizon was going to be here talking about 5G, but they're probably the furthest ahead in terms of network and in terms of adoption. Sorry.
Yeah, and also we should give a shout out to the TPN on the cloud initiative, right? You guys announced and started a cloud initiative this year, and you know, that's certainly a very relevant part of all of this look to security.
Totally, and we'll have an update in April there as well. Next question.
One more question here. So given the nature of the distributed workflows that you work with, what kind of technologies are you looking at to be able to do identity management and content management or asset management in a distributed network?
I think there are two questions there. The identity management one, Tony, I think you covered a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's some interesting projects that are going on. The ETC just put out a white paper about using blockchain for an identity management service. So, you know, that's an interesting one for sure. You know, if we could give, say, all the production their own unique identifier that they could use and carry with them somewhere. So I'd say that there's certainly projects out there. We don't have anything just yet, I think, that fits the bill. Because this isn't a universal problem, right? This is an industry problem. Because again, these people, they form a production and then they move to another content owner and they move to another content owner. So this really needs to be sort of an industry solution from the identity side.
Yeah, and I guess the second half of your question was regarding assets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a trickier thing. I mean, I think as you see in our white paper, you know, we definitely think you need to move beyond just bucket encryption, kind of relying on encryption from your platform provider, because those keys are generally available to, you know, any administrator on the infrastructure, to the infrastructure itself. So that's why we think you need to have another additional layer of encryption at the file level, or have other access control mechanisms that, you know, limit the access only to authenticated users and applications.
Excellent. Any other questions? Time for maybe one more. All right, we'll see the time. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Guy.